Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Over the last 2 days, we've been talking about youth sports, youth activities, exercise, and the like. And you've mentioned a couple of things in both podcasts that I think kind of come together to what we're going to talk about today.
Right.
One of the things you mentioned was that by the age of 13 or so, a lot of kids quit sports. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that. But also, you mentioned, you know, we are often asked by parents what to do when their kids aren't interested
right.
in sports. And so today we're going to talk about how you can build a or raise your kids' interest
right.
in sports and,
right.
and activities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there are two important issues here. One is this great divide that occurs at about 13 is about the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's also the time when kids graduate from Little League. Little
right.
League goes up to about age 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this this phenomenon that happens when kids are about 13. 70% of them drop out.
Right.
And there are essentially two reasons for that. One is that some kids just aren't capable of competing at that level. My own son was a very good baseball player
mm-hmm.
in Little League.
Mm-hmm.
But he grew slowly. His mm-hmm. growth curve was sort of flat for a couple of years. He simply wasn't big enough
right.
to play on a big field.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the skills to do it, but he just wasn't big enough.
Right. And you know, when it comes to, I had this discussion with someone about soccer
right.
the other day,
right.
that, you know, what's challenging is that at the younger ages, it's like everybody can get in there and play because
that's right.
the diversity in size is relatively small.
Smaller, right.
But then as soon as you start getting into middle and then high school,
right.
when different people reach puberty at different
right.
stages or at different
right.
ages,
mm-hmm.
you can have one kid that's 6 foot tall and one kid that's 5 foot tall,
right.
and they're exactly the same age.
I can remember when I played Little League, which was, I think it was the first year that Little League was invented. No, but we played against some other teams. It was our little area of geographic areas, a township, and we played there, and we were all sort of similar because they had just started
mm-hmm.
the league. When we went to the tournament at the end of the season,
mm-hmm.
we played on a real field, you know, with grass
yeah.
and all that stuff. And this one guy came up to bat, and he had a beard. He had like a beard. He was 12 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like he was a man. And I thought, and you begin to become aware of the differences.
Right.
He was just barely precocious maturity,
right?
But he was shaving at age 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd never seen that before. Or when kids drive to when you're playing in
mm-hmm.
the next level up, and they start driving
right.
to practices and games, and it seems so odd.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there are kids who develop more quickly. So one is, you have this group of kids who mature, they're physical,
mm-hmm.
they have this athletic body type.
Right.
I think of the Mannings, you know,
mm-hmm.
the Peyton
yeah.
Manning, you know, their dad was a quarterback. And both of those boys, the older brother, Peyton, has retired. His younger brother, Eli, is still playing. They both weighed over 12 pounds at birth.
Yeah.
You know, so they were big at the starting blocks, you know,
right.
from the very beginning. And then, of course, their father was an NFL quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and so he was able to tutor them in the game itself.
Right.
So first of all, you have this split that occurs
right.
at about this time.
Right.
But the second thing is, there's nothing, we said this earlier in the week, we've done a very good job of organizing sports for the elite athletes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really have anything for kids
right.
after that
right.
that age.
Well, yeah, I think that the big issue because of that
mm-hmm.
is that it's just not fun for kids anymore. You know, once they reach that age, unless you are one of those elite
right.
that are going to compete,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the higher level, at the high school
right.
level or at
mm-hmm.
the competitive level, sports just aren't fun anymore.
Right, but they should be.
They should
be. I mean,
be.
There should be something for kids to do. For those who choose, it would be like the kids who choose to go to college preparatory high school,
mm-hmm.
that's good for them.
Yeah.
But there should be an alternative for those who don't, and
right.
they haven't done a very good job of that
right.
either. So the idea of sports as recreation, as a mm-hmm. lifelong activity, mm-hmm. We don't do as well with that as
right.
we do with the elite athletes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about it a little bit tomorrow, because part of that does fall on the parents and coaches.
Right. Right.
You know, mm-hmm. if you, you know, it's one thing if you're playing competitive mm-hmm. and you're on a travel team and,
right.
you know, you're working to play at that level. That's
mm-hmm.
one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're playing recreationally, if you're playing, you know, just for fun,
right.
it should be just that. It
right.
should be fun.
That's right. Right.
And we don't do a good job at that.
No.
So.
We're leaving that out. I had a friend who grew up in, he was much older than I was. He grew up in pre-World War II Germany, so he was a soldier in the German army in World War II, and he talks about how sports were done in pre-World War II Germany, and they actually did gymnastics. I mean, they were expected to be gymnasts. They were expected to be athletes, and everybody participated. What?
You say things like that, and then you wonder why I like joke about age and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know people who were in World War II.
Who?
You know people who were in World War II.
Oh.
Relatives.
I don't think so.
Yes, you do.
I don't think so. No.
Yes, you do.
Mm.
You had teachers.
I've never had teachers.
Who were in World War II?
I don't know. It's just great. So.
No, in Europe.
I got you.
Even my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Your age. Couple years older than you. Yes. Lorraine's husband.
Yeah?
Yeah. You're of the same generation. Don't act like you're a little boy.
Lorraine's
here? I'll come after you, too. No, they treat in some of those countries
sure.
that everybody participates. You're
yeah.
expected to participate.
Well,
and it's just for strength and conditioning mm-hmm. and because it's good for your body.
But where do we see that even today is when they show it's actually meant to instill some fear, I think, in us. But when they show film of like in Japan and China
mm-hmm.
with all of the school students out on the schoolyard,
right.
you know,
going
to Tai Chi or doing
right.
some form of martial art
mm-hmm.
or something like that. You know, they're all out there doing that. It's not like there's
right.
some that are staying inside or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that's at the school right at that time is doing that.
You know, while we're picking on me,
yeah.
here's another one.
I like this.
Okay.
This is my favorite part.
My brother is a big fan of the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not.
You're not?
No, not at all. And the reason I'm not is because I have trouble with this idea of taking very young children,
mm-hmm.
3, 4, 5 year olds, grooming them, whether the government is doing it or a parent is doing it,
mm-hmm.
to have this single sport to
mm-hmm.
become that
mm-hmm.
that elite
mm-hmm.
world class athlete.
Yeah.
I long for the days when people like Jim Thorpe, who just happened to be a good athlete,
mm-hmm.
could compete at that level. You know, they would compete against each
mm-hmm.
other. It wasn't starting at age 3 and filling them with chemicals and, you know, nutrition and exercise until they get to that level.
Mm-hmm.
It just never made any sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, so you have 6 people who can compete at that level, but what
mm-hmm.
about the 6 million who can't?
Mm-hmm.
We're not addressing their needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that bothers me. That I know.
Curmudgeon.
Curmudgeon.
What?
Curmudgeon.
No, I didn't say that.
Hater.
So here are some things that you can do as a parent to hopefully increase your kids' interest
right.
and willingness to participate in sport. Love the first one.
I like all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I was really happy that we found this one because
mm-hmm.
These are very practical,
mm-hmm.
very useful, and very important things that you should be doing with your children. You should
right.
be doing these in your families.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is to join them in
right.
play.
Right.
Yeah.
And we said that yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, do it with them. Play
yeah.
with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I coach my U18 boys.
U18 stands for?
under 18. Well, they're all actually under 19.
Normal people don't know.
I think normal people do. Pre-World War II people may not.
I'm not pre-World War II.
But my team is they're 17 and 18 year olds, and you know that's one thing because they're pretty much they're adults. I mean, for goodness sakes. But I love when I coach my under 8 team, so 6 and 7 year olds, and you can get out there and you can play with them, and you can so they can experience it in a lot of different ways, not just chasing the ball around and stuff. So, you know, join them and play. You know, get out and play with your kids or your nieces and nephews, and go outside and play outside with them. It'll be good fun.
Right.
The second thing is to buy sporting goods instead of gadgets.
And again, we say, I don't want my kids on these gadgets. I don't want my kids. I don't want this. I don't want that. But that's what you're buying.
Why are
you're
buying
iPads. You're buying phones. You're buying TVs. You're buying remote controls. You're buying video games. Go buy some other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. If you have excess income, buy them other things that they can use.
Right. Yeah. That was one of the big things that when the Wii, Nintendo Wii came out was, you know, you could buy a Wii remote adapter that was like a tennis racket.
Right.
And so you'd have a tennis racket that you could actually be moving to. And, and sure, you're not hitting a ball and you're not doing that kind of stuff, but you're moving it.
Yeah, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's they're very good for the elderly.
Absolutely.
The Wii games. And they're very good for kids. Again, I've had fun playing tennis with my... Now what?
Nothing.
Elderly?
I'm the same.
This is like watching those TV shows where the certain word comes up. You know, I feel like I'm a.
I want a chicken to drop right here. Number three is to.
I'm not going to stop talking, so you can just.
It's okay.
Okay.
Number three is to bond with your kids over, you know, sports on TV or more preferably, really watching a live game.
I think watching a live game is really. It's very different.
Yeah.
It's a very different experience.
And you can take young kids to a game.
Right. That's right.
Just work on your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so frustrating when you go to a game. Like I took my granddaughter. She was 5 at the time.
Right.
I took her to
Orlando
City soccer match. And, you know, she's 5.
Mm-hmm.
She enjoyed the grandeur. She enjoyed all of the big stuff and everything. But you know, 15 minutes into the match, she was done.
She was ready to go home.
She was ready to go. Yeah. And so we left.
So you leave, right.
You know, the expectation wasn't that I was going to go there and enjoy the match as if I was going by myself or with my 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
The expectation was I'm going to go there and help her have some exposure to it, enjoy it a little bit, and then leave.
Right. That's right.
We beat the traffic. There's a positive.
That's true. Get out before the crowd.
Yeah.
No, I've had great fun with my kids going to... I'm not sure that I would ever go to some of these games myself, but I enjoy going with my kids.
Right.
You know, it's another one of those activities that you can enjoy and bond together during that experience, you know.
Yeah.
I've never been a great sports fan.
I know. We've talked about that before.
Is that sad? Are you sad that I'm not?
No. I mean, a little bit. That's okay. You just keep
Maybe it's because I grew up in a city that didn't have a college team or a pro team.
Right.
And so I know people who lived in large cities that had a team. They
And there were far fewer sports back then.
Yeah, there were two.
Number four is to teach your kids about great sports figures. To teach them about, you know, these individuals. You know, you think about hugely, not just people who were really important in their individual sports, but individuals who were important in society. Muhammad Ali, for example. But, you know, outside of that. I was talking to somebody the other day who doesn't know, and maybe it's just an age thing, didn't know who Pele was.
Did you?
Yeah.
Are you that old?
Yeah.
No.
I'm getting old.
No, you don't remember.
I mean, I'm not.
You
I'm
were very young when Pele played.
I'm not even pre-Vietnam.
You were very young when Pele played.
Right. But...
But then most people wouldn't know him because most people didn't know soccer then.
Perhaps so.
Right.
But
there are figures like Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, Jesse Owens, Jim Thorpe, people who brought something more than competition to it. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you teach your kids about these important figures.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, because some of them again had significant social implications.
Exactly.
And then finally, coach them at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so hard to talk with parents sometimes who are just wanting to, you know, they're really frustrated that their 9-year-old doesn't want to play baseball for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should have been playing with them for a long time now.
And if you coach them early, by early we're talking about three, four, five. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, when you talk about Tiger Woods, Serena and Venus Williams, all these athletes started when they were younger than five.
Right.
Okay. It doesn't have to be lessons at that age.
Mm-hmm.
You just go out and you teach them as well as you can.
Right.
Not all dads are coordinated. Not all moms are coordinated.
Right.
But you go out and you start those movements of throwing and running and catching, just because it's important for their development.
Right.
Eye-hand coordination, the ability to catch a ball so it doesn't hit you in the face, is a useful skill to possess.
Absolutely.
Okay? You're going to learn very early on whether your child is coordinated or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my sons was coordinated at a very, very early age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were all shocked that he had those abilities. Other kids are not,
mm-hmm.
okay? But there's a sport for everybody.
Right.
You know, okay, so you're not good at catching things, but you sure can swing a golf club, okay?
Right.
So, or you can swim, or you can do other things. So the advantage of doing it early is you learn who's good at what things, and you can guide them into those sports.
And it also teaches proprioception very early on,
exactly.
where your body is in space, you know?
Right.
And that's why I love the idea of gymnastics
mm-hmm.
and martial arts and things like that in really young kids. Because it teaches them to control and move and manage their body in ways that you're not going to get at home.
I think it's so sad. I think one of the saddest things, and if you teach, or like I ran a school, you know, I was in charge of a school for 5 years, and you would see these kids who obviously had no prior experience. And it's so sad because they were denied the opportunity to develop the skills.
Right.
They probably could have developed them
mm-hmm.
had somebody played with them.
Right.
And that's all you have to do is play with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
If they had played with them early on, they would have brought these abilities with them. And here they are in third and fourth grade, and they can't catch a ball, and they can't run in a coordinated way.
Right.
And it denies them an opportunity.
And that is an important maybe final point with this is that, because you mentioned like Tiger Woods and Venus and Serena Williams and some of them, when you're starting with your kids early on, it doesn't have to be one single sport. You know, again, when my son was young, at around three, he was able to start playing because of the way that our local sports are here.
Mm-hmm.
But he played baseball, he played soccer.
Mm-hmm.
A few years later, he started playing American football.
Mm-hmm.
Played lacrosse. He did all these different things.
Right.
But it wasn't until much later. And this will be something we talk later in the week. It wasn't too much later that he went to one specific sport.
Mm-hmm.
But you want that diversity,
right?
And so when early on, you don't have to have anything specific. Just mix it up.
Just
play all kinds of different things.
Right. Play all kinds of things. Find out what they're good at, and then let them pursue those things on their own.
But make it fun.
Yes. Please.
Make it fun.
Make it fun.
So, all right, that then is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.